Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk some Chiefs football with Josh Klingler, who will be on the sidelines in New York coming up, or I guess New Jersey technically, this Sunday. He, of course, is part of the Chiefs radio network right here on 96.5 The Fan. Kling, I'm surprised they haven't given you exclusive invites to the new Mahomes restaurant. We were going through the menu a little bit.
I think that the next we got the charter flight coming up on Saturday. I think hopefully, you know, they throw a couple steaks our way or something. Maybe they should cater the flight. That'd
go.
Be cool.
There you go. Yeah, just get, you know, like, just for one. Doesn't have to be every time, but just one. Kling. Yeah. That doesn't seem that crazy.
Yeah, and I know everybody's big fans of they have Chick-fil-A on the way into the plane. That's kind of that's the going out plane meal. But I'm sure they would change it for a day if.
You've told me why while the plane is waiting to take off, basically people can have Chick-fil-A, but then like 35 minutes later, then the actual meal is offered. Is that
yeah,
true?
Yeah. It's. I mean, I'd weigh 300 pounds myself if I were to eat everything that passes by us on a flight. It is pretty ridiculous, but I get the Chick-fil-A and then go right to the nap. So it actually works out pretty good for me. I don't have to wait for the in-flight service.
Nice. Nice.
That's smart. That's a good way to handle it. The Chiefs, obviously, they're 0-2, Kling. I'm trying to decide at what level we should feel better about where they are, knowing that they definitely played better in Game 2 than they played in Game 1, but they still lost. You feel better knowing that they improved, at least defensively? Versus
no moral victories or anything like that, but you know, two losses, and again, two losses are two losses, but 9 points, like they were mistakes from being into that, you know, or a stop I should say, away from having a chance at a drive against the Chargers. And then, you know, Travis Kelce catches that pass, they hit a field goal they normally hit, albeit from distance, but they normally hit those right with Butker, and you have a Travis Kelce touchdown. Maybe you're running away from that game. I mean, I think they have the momentum. If he goes into the end zone and scores, it might be a vastly different game. So yeah, it's still 0-2, but you know, I do think they did play better, certainly defensively in game number two. You can't ask for anything more keeping a team like that in that realm of scoring. That was, you know, simply on the offense the other day. So I guess we found out they really do miss Rashi Rice and they really do miss Xavier Worthy in this offense, but obviously they're going to have to figure out a way. Who knows if, you know, I know the progress reports are good on Xavier Worthy, but, and you know, kind of Rice's timetable, obviously, but they're going to have to figure some things out still in the interim and can't just say, we'll just wait for those guys and it'll be all fine. They need to be better, certainly offensively, and they might have to be better offensively this week too, because I don't know, the Giants were pretty, they were really impressive in game number two. I know that the offensive line was pretty garbage in game one, but I mean, they threw for 450 yards and had anything they wanted downfield the other day against the Cowboys. So this is a team that's going to throw the ball around the yard. You're probably going to have to score some points.
The running back room has been talked at, you know, ad nauseum, I think, at this point in time. Is it just a combination to you of the offensive line struggling in short yardage scheme and that they don't maybe have the right backs? Or do you think there's an ability for this running back room still to show something here pretty quickly, or there's a need to be an adjustment? Breshard Smith need to get some more playing time? What do you think's going on with the backfield?
Well, I mean, I love always when it's, you know, hey, bring in a guy we haven't seen before. Well,
sure.
I think I trust this coaching staff enough to say, that he would be playing if he offered more to the table. I think they do believe in the two running backs they have. How much have they committed to it is a question. I wouldn't necessarily say this offensive line has been super, you know, road gradery thus far. And that's a very sports term, right? Road gradery. they don't. And does this running back room look like good catching the ball to the backfield team? Not necessarily. So, you know, you feel like they do miss the P. Ryan, that third down guy specifically right now, that a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield and can do some things. And I know that they were searching for that even at the tail end of the preseason and never really kind of found that option. I think they were on the lookout then for a running back, and I think they're probably still on the lookout for one. Now, will it be a number one? No, I think they'll be still looking for a situational type running back, but a little more of the ability to be dynamic in that position would be nice. But, you know, it's just kind of hard to tell right now, right? Not a lot is clicking offensively, so you can kind of poke holes at any number of different spots and say they need to get better. I thought one thing, I heard Patrick Mahomes' comments today. I know he was still kind of critical of himself. I thought he was better in the pocket this past week, guys, that I think in game one, it was if the pocket collapsed and he stepped up, he was running. I thought he hung in the pocket a little bit better this week. And I think that would bode well for himself. Yes, he can run and scoot and still can make those decisions on when to go, but not have it be an automatic, I think is a good thing, that if he can hang in that pocket for an extra second, buy himself a little more time, buy a receiver a little more time to get open, that would be a good thing. I thought he was better in that regard in game two.
I do wonder at some point, Kling, if teams will start using a spy on him, and if they do, that should make the passing game easier for him. Because he's always run, but not run to the point that people were leaving an extra defender in to stop it. That's part of the reason why his runs are so successful. If anybody ever decides to make that switch, that should open up some things in the passing game for him, right?
Yeah, he should be able to pick a spot and maybe he gets back to the look-away passes, right? He uses the guy to play off of and go to somewhere else. I just think, again, missing those two wide receivers, maybe it's because they have Patrick Mahomes and they have Andy Reid, and you just say, oh, they'll figure it out. But I think missing those two wide receivers is big. There was a play in the game the other day where I looked up, and it was three tight ends and Jason Brownlee were the four people that were lined up. And I thought, well, I don't know how many times that's been drawn up as like, well, that's the play we want to go to. I feel like they did that a little bit out of necessity, right? As much as the three tight ends is fun to think about conceptually, I don't know if that provides your best form of attack, certainly not to be able to get the ball down the field like they would like to do. So, missing those two has been a bigger impact than maybe we gave it credit for.
We heard earlier today, Kling, from Andy talking about Mike Dana's injury, Christian Fulton. Starting to unfortunately feel like Christian Fulton's going to be one of these players, you know, each week we're just kind of like, all right, is he ready this week? Is this the week? I love the signing in the offseason. I felt like it was going to be crucial for them with McDuffie. But do you get any sense being around the team at all, Christian Fulton, or should we see him on the field anytime soon?
Well, I mean, it's hard to know, right? Didn't play the entire preseason and now is injured very early on in game number two. So, and then really kind of came on because of a little bit of an injury in game one, you know? So, availability is great. If you're available, you have the opportunity to factor in. If you're not, you're not. And so we just haven't seen enough of him to certainly hand him over anything. Right. So it's hard to tell. But guy that's missed the entire preseason and then hasn't been able to stay healthy thus far, you can't really count on. So, you know, will they be looking at that position too? Possibly. Joshua Williams, the guy who, looked like he was probably on the trading block at the tail end of the preseason, hung on, stayed on this roster. He's yet to kind of see any snaps at the corner position, but I think the reason they probably held on to him was to, as a little bit of insurance. They brought up a guy off the practice squad last week at defensive back too. So that may be another position Brett Veach and company are kind of looking at to see if there's any veteran type that gets cut or released or is, you know, lower on the depth chart somewhere else. I think they're probably still kind of combing around for bodies like they always do.
Kling, what do you make of the tush push? Where is your stance on it? Mine is generally like, I don't have a problem with it being a play that was allowed for so long, but if it gets to the point that you can't officiate it in any way, well then how can you allow the play to stand? Essentially what we keep being told is Well, it's too hard for the officials. They can't look at it at there in real time and call it correctly. What would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of in that boat, too, that I was in the camp of stop it. Like, it's a very effective play. Other teams have tried it. The Eagles were best at it. But now if they're getting an extra advantage, I think that that's something that, that needs to probably be revisited. I'm glad it was an official and Tom Brady that was complaining and not just the Chiefs, because mm-hmm. I don't think that would have been effective at all. No one, I don't think anybody around the NFL would like to hear the Chiefs complain about officiating. So it had to come from an outside source. I felt like someone else is going to have to take up that battle besides Kansas City, because I don't think anybody was going to give it the time of day. So I was glad that it was, you know, Tom Brady. It was an official that kind of points those things out, because, yeah, it's kind of in the camp like, hey, if you run it and you are on the snap count and you can't get it blocked or get it broken up and they block it and get a first down, I don't have a problem with it. But if you're moving early and you're perpetually moving early, that's when it becomes an issue, because it's a violation, and that it's something that you better do a better job as an official of calling, because if it becomes impactful, and I think this last week, I mean, I don't know, you're never privy to what they go over in their tape and their film sessions, but I got to imagine they're looking at that and going, yeah, a few of those were blatant enough that they should have probably thrown a flag. Hard to do so late in the game, probably in Kansas City, where you're facing the scrutiny of the Chiefs get all the calls. But certainly I was all in favor of, like, just stop that tush push. But now it seems like it's creeped into a different territory.
You fully buy in the Chargers, or is it still like, all right, prove to me when everybody's talking you up in about 6 weeks and things are going great that you don't Charger?
I mean, I think they're a good team, but do I still think the Chiefs had the opportunity to be the best team in the division? Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, Justin Herbert is still a barely over 500 quarterback, right? I think they played pretty well through two games, and they deserve to get the victory against the Chiefs. But again, I thought they played awfully well against the Chiefs, who played lousy, and it was a 6-point game. So I don't think that the gap is there. I don't think they're going to run away with this thing. I think the Chiefs are going to, you know, they're going to right the ship and go on a win streak, even if it's kind of a slow start to the year. I just got a feeling they're going to do typical Andy Reid Chiefs type things and reel off a bunch of games in the mid part of the season. And then about the 3-quarter mark, we're all going to look up and go, yep, same old thing with the division, that the Chiefs are the team that's going to have to be caught.
Kling, appreciate it as always. We'll be listening Sunday night. I'm guessing you guys will get back at what? Is that a 4 a.m. Central Time flight back or what?
Yeah, this will be one of those trips. I say this is the reason I'm no longer doing morning.
Yeah, you don't want to get in at 4 a.m. and then start hosting a show at 6?
Yeah, this would be the straight to work version of Josh. And boy, I don't miss that. I'll tell you.
There you go. That's Josh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.